This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, December 4th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the Civic Media app, or by podcast, or watching us on social media. It's a beautiful day now. It's going to get a little less beautiful really soon. Brittany Merlot will have full details on the forecast coming up in an hour, but the short version is that a powerful cold front is going to be coming through this afternoon into this evening, depending on where you are in the state. And so temperatures are a smidge warmer than where they were 24 hours ago. But starting around noon from west to east, temperatures are going to drop like a rock and the wind is going to pick up and there's going to be some light snow. You know, it won't be anything, you know, like a, you know, over an inch, but it's the way the wind is going to whip it and the temperatures are going to plummet that you're going to want to make sure to dress for later, not for now. It's 29 here in Chippewa Falls, 26 in Hayward, 26 in Wausau. La Crosse is at 30, Amory at 29, Wisconsin Rapids 26, Green Bay at 28, Madison 25, Waukesha at 21, and it's 27 degrees in Radio Park, where Mr. Greg Bach is standing by, also ready for whatever the tundra can throw at him later today, more like this evening by the time it gets down to his neck of the woods, but it's going to be winter regardless. Like it or not, buddy, here it comes.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had a pretty mild winter. It was pretty, I don't want to say nice because it means, you know, the earth is on fire, but I'm ready for it. I've got all my jackets prepared and got multiple sets of boots ready for any sort of snow. And oh boy, and according to Tony,
Tony's writing on YouTube, Ironwood is getting a ton of snow. Yes, I should modify my remarks slightly, that most places will see about maybe a quarter inch, half inch, up to close to an inch of snow. But there's going to be this lake effect snow in places like Ironwood that's going to be loaded with snow later on. But they know that when they live. It's kind of like living in Buffalo. You just know.
I always say the same thing every year in, when it comes to at least Wisconsin. I can't speak for any other state. But when we start to hit these, you know, these weeks and months of the cold and the winter and the bluster and the snow, I go, hey, man, you hit yes on the terms and conditions apply. So I know we don't like it, but don't complain about it like you're like, what is this?
Yes. Well, and Tony raises an interesting point in a follow-up comment. He says, I don't know why you wouldn't move 30 minutes west to Ashland where you have protection from the bay. We get way less here. Yeah. And as I know from my one trip through Buffalo, visiting Niagara Falls, that it's a pretty well-defined area when you see everything, you know, the Buffalo Bills Stadium happens to be in that area. But you can be not too far north or south, and you almost never get dumped on in that way, to which you want to go knock on all the doors of all those folks and go, you know you can move, right? I mean, it's it may take some price, but you can do it, you know. But like you said, if you want to be there, the terms and conditions do apply.
Yes, they do.
There's just no other way to put it. So anyway, so the temperatures that we've got right now definitely take 10 to 15 degrees off them as they fall throughout the course of the afternoon, and the wind really picks up. Coming up on the program today, in this first hour, we will talk to Melissa Baldoff, as we do every Wednesday morning around 6:30 for our weekly climate check. And we'll talk a bit about the political quandary that Republicans are facing in Washington when it comes to climate, because President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act is doing a lot that's geared toward the changing climate, mitigating some of the problems that it causes, doing things so that we contribute less to the problem. It creates jobs along the way, all of these many projects. And so when some of these Republicans echo Donald Trump in saying, we want to undo everything that Biden has done, well, maybe not everything, you know, depending on where they are and what kind of benefits they're already seeing from the Inflation Reduction Act. So we'll talk to Melissa more about that. In our second hour, we're going to talk to our friend Duff Martin from Eau Claire. He is a social studies teacher in Eau Claire, but he's also been a leader in teachers' unions at the state and national level. He's on the National Executive Committee for the National Education Association, the NEA. We'll get his reaction to a judge overturning Act 10, 13 years after Scott Walker's attempt to destroy the teachers' unions. By the way, the teachers' unions don't have nearly the influence that they used to in terms of contract negotiations. But if Scott Walker and Republicans were looking to kill teachers' unions, that didn't happen. There was another recent round of elections in school districts across Wisconsin. Teachers' unions are as healthy as ever because people, when they have a chance to negotiate as a group rather than individually, will typically choose that, especially when they see why certain employers want to divide and conquer and pay you less and treat you worse. So we'll talk to Ron about that. And then at 7:30, our homeroom segment continues with the superintendent from the Hudson School District and a school board member there. Hudson is one of the districts, one of many, 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 that had referendums on the ballot just to keep school districts operating as is, not to do anything new, but basically to keep up with inflation, since the Republican-led legislature hasn't been doing its part. But Hudson's one of the districts where voters said no. So now there's this fork in the road. Do you say, well, this is what the voters want, and you go ahead and you make some painful cuts to education? Or do you say, you know, let's come back in April, let's you know, reconfigure what we're asking for, or let's better communicate what we're asking for and try to avoid those painful cuts if the voters, you know, might be more agreeable in April. Which way are they going to go in Hudson? We'll talk to Nick Ouellette and Megan Rozowski in Hudson about that a little bit later on. As mentioned, we will get Brittany Merlot's forecast as well for a day that's going to be windy, snowy, and much, much colder. I think I want to start, though, in acknowledging that there have been some layoffs at some TV stations in Wisconsin, and I don't know the extent of them. I know that it's been apparent in Eau Claire, La Crosse, and I guess Wausau as well from what I'm seeing online. And it's an unfortunate thing because it includes friends, former colleagues, things like that. And we haven't received any official word from these TV stations or from their parent company, Allen Media Group. But you know, we are aware that at some of these places, the economy has caught up to them. And so, for example, my friend and former colleague, Keith Edwards, who's been anchoring the 5 o'clock newscast in Eau Claire at Channel 18 for many years, was among the many who were laid off yesterday by Allen Media. Now, Allen Media is owned by a billionaire. I knew him as, you know, mid-1970s comedian Byron Allen. And Greg, I don't know if in your history of, you know, comedians, you know many comedians who later went on to become billionaires. Byron Allen's one of them. Might be one of one is that list, as far as I can
tell. As far as the trajectory of Byron Allen, yeah, he started in stand-up, did the Tonight Show, and then decided to own the properties. And
yes, which is very smart on his part. Yes. He's obviously been a very savvy investor.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the highs come the lows. And yep, right now, Allen Media owns 36 TV stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox affiliates, 36 stations in 21 markets, 12 networks, including the Weather Channel.
He owns the Weather Channel?
Yes.
Wow.
He also, his studio also produces and distributes 73 different television shows.
Wow.
The company has about 2,300 employees. Last year, he made a bid for BET, where he was bidding more than $3 billion. But that money's got to come from somewhere. And unfortunately, sometimes at these smaller properties like these Wisconsin TV stations, you see what happens, which is, again, just a real shame. And I just wanted to acknowledge that some good journalists, some good reporters, you may not be seeing them on your local stations, but hopefully many of them land on their feet in other places along the way. On the other hand, I also want to acknowledge the folks who have been writing in to Up North News. And I can only speak to Up North News because Sage Weil, who runs Civic Media, has not given me a key to the mailbox over there. So I don't know, Greg, what you guys
All you got to do is just jimmy the door a little bit, just give it a little shake awake and just pull it open. There you go. You got your mail.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say that at Up North News, one of the first things we did was we opened up a post office box here in Chippewa Falls, P.O. Box 27. And actually, there's a good story about the reason that we did that was when we make the daily newsletter, which you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe.
Plug.
But it said because we have our parent company, Courier Newsroom, has offices in Washington, D.C. and New York, it had either a Washington, D.C. or a New York address down at the bottom.
Yeah.
And we were getting notes like, you're not really a Wisconsin outlet. I'm like, the heck we aren't.
Good Lord.
I opened up a P.O. box and put that at the bottom of the newsletter, and people send all these nice notes. And so at this time of year, we do a fundraising drive every quarter because, as I've said before, we have very big financial supporters, we have very mid-range financial supporters, and we have grassroots supporters, and you need all of them for a company like ours to work.
Yeah.
And the notes that accompany these checks, and they're usually little post-it notes or just little scraps of paper, and they just say thank you for what you do and we appreciate your newsletter. We get one that's like, you know, you guys do too much politics, but you know, here's a contribution anyway. And another says, I love your political coverage, you know, here's a little, and they're all like $25 and $50 checks. And again, my whole point being, we love the feedback. Love the feedback. Greg and I get it every day in real time, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Most of the time. We've seen some of the texts come over.
Luckily, I don't have access to the text. I can't see them come in. So when Pat tells them, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. I did get a letter to Up North News via courier to the P.O. box sent to me. Here, I got one right here, Pat.
It says, really?
It's old timey paper.
Oh, I see.
More Greg. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, okay. Well, good. Here. More Greg and more sports. Well, more lucky sports. You. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the Bucks and the Badger men's basketball team did in their games last night and then move on to cover some of the other news of the day. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We've got a birthday in today's history lesson from a member of the Bodines based out of Waukesha, so we'll tell you more about that in today's history lesson, half hour away here on Up North News Radio. Take a quick look at sports. There were just a couple of basketball games worth talking about here. The Badger men's basketball team lost to Michigan. The 11th-ranked Badgers fell 67-64. It was the Big Ten opener for both teams. It's the first loss of the season for the Badgers, who fall to 8-1. Wisconsin's Max Klesmet missed three shots in the final 73 seconds that would have tied the game or put the Badgers ahead. Big game ahead now. The 11th-ranked Badgers take on the 5th-ranked Marquette Eagles, Golden Eagles, at the Fiserv Forum on Saturday. 12:30 is the tip-off, and you'll be able to find that game across some Civic Media radio stations. Coverage begins at 11:30 Saturday morning on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. So again, Badgers, Marquette, Saturday. The Milwaukee Bucks are done with group play in the NBA Cup in-season tournament, and they move on to the quarterfinals. The Bucks clinched their group, winning all four of its games, including last night's win in Detroit, 128-107. Giannis had 28 points. Damian Lillard had 27. The Bucks have now won seven straight and nine of their last 10. So the in-season tournament will continue with a quarterfinal game, Orlando coming to Milwaukee next Tuesday. But between now and then, regular season games resume, and that includes tonight with the Bucks hosting Atlanta. And then, of course, another note about the Packers. They will be playing tomorrow night in Detroit. Pre-game starts at 5 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. Should mention as well that the Badger women's basketball team is in action on some Civic Media stations on Sunday. You can catch that coverage starting at 1:40 on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. And the Badger men's hockey team will host Michigan State, on Friday and Saturday, 5:30 both evenings on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. You can also catch that and so much in terms of high school sports on the Civic Media app. So if you don't have that yet, get cracking. Get over to civicmedia.us and learn more about downloading that app. Forgot to extend my invitation, put the welcome mat out. The welcome mat doesn't say welcome on it. It says 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. You can call or you can text us at that number or put something in the comment sections of YouTube or Facebook, depending on where you're watching the show. If you're watching instead of listening, we always love to have the feedback from you as well. And that comes from all over. I forgot to mention, though, when we talked about the nice notes that people mail to us at Up North News, one of them had a Florida postmark on it. And it was somebody from up north who is a snowbird and spends their winters in Florida and still listens to the show down in Florida. So we appreciate very much that you're doing that. In the Up North News Daily newsletter, the aforementioned newsletter, you know, the one you sign up for on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, Greg, we're going to talk about cookies in the newsletter today. Yeah, that got his attention.
Hello.
The average American eats about 300 cookies a year, about 35,000 cookies in a lifetime. 300 cookies a year. Does that sound about right? I mean, almost a cookie a day?
Yeah, I would probably say I come in below average. We don't have cookies in the house that often. Uh-huh. But you know, if we have a pack of Oreos, those are going to get destroyed. Destroyed, Pat.
About half the cookies that Americans consume each year are chocolate chip. Okay. But during the winter holiday season, lots of folks prefer, I don't know what you'd call them. Some people call them peanut butter blossoms. Some call them black-eyed Susans. Others call them, those really dry peanut butter cookies with a big old Hershey's Kiss in the middle that could choke a horse.
Who talks about them like that?
That'd be me. But it turns out that a woman in Chippewa County has a stake on that claim about those cookies, as they were invented by her great-grandmother, who lived in Ohio back in 1957.
Okay.
On that fateful day when she ran out of chocolate chips and improvised with the kisses that she had on hand. She won third prize in a baking contest, but it is her recipe on the back of Hershey's Kisses bags to this day. And you could read more in the newsletter that we put out at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony's on your side. He writes on YouTube. Those are amazing.
I love those cookies, but I also find it very funny. But it's the idea like, oh, dear, I've run out of chocolate chips. Here, have one gigantic chocolate chip. I don't like the term black-eyed Susan. That just sounds, it's never sounded good to me. I just, know.
Yep. Tony writes OHIO. Okay, he's representing Ohio there. So yes, somebody did that there. Roger from Stevens Point notes that Melissa Langman, 34 years at WAOW anchor, was laid off along with journeyman anchor Eric Mrotek. The links at those websites no longer work as well.
Geez. So
again, just a darn shame with the layoffs that were announced. But we wish nothing but the best for them. One other It's about a TV station in Boston. I saw this on TMZ last night, and I see it's in the Journal Sentinel this morning about a station in Boston, WCVB, going viral for showing B-roll footage of holiday shoppers walking around town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've seen clips like that a million times of shoppers walking around down on the streets. And apparently they didn't realize that it included legendary actress Zendaya and her mother.
Yeah.
Were walking toward the camera. And I have to admit, now, I looked at that video, and if I were at the TV station seeing that come across, it would not have struck me as, I think I know her, you know?
Like, honey, is that Zendaya? Nah,
couldn't have been. But she's in Boston filming a new movie called The Drama with Robert Pattinson.
Ooh.
And she's been spotted at other places around Boston, but apparently was just out shopping and was in some of the B-roll. And I would have loved to if one of the anchors had caught it and then come back and get their reaction and go, do you know who that was? and of course, if I were the coordinator, I'd be like, no, it couldn't have been. No. And then we'd re-rack the footage 10 times and see if we could figure it out or not. And we'd look absolutely foolish.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I hope she'd be like, she would make fun. She's very funny. She's very much like, doesn't take herself too seriously. So I would hope she'd just make like jokes or like make faces at the camera.
I'm sure she would. Yeah, I'm sure she would. Melissa Baldoff has our climate check. That's coming up next on Up North News Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a bit.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's electric. Up North News Radio continues for this Wednesday morning, as always, with Melissa Baldoff and our weekly climate check. Melissa, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Our theme today is budget cuts for thee, but not for me. It's a dilemma that congressional Republicans have on their hands. Because President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act is creating a whole new generation of jobs nationwide without regard to who supported him. And a lot of red states are seeing big benefits. And so when President-elect Trump talks about undoing Biden's investments, Melissa, these Republican lawmakers are finding themselves in a bit of a pickle. And I, for one, am here for it.
You know, I am. I know we're family friendly here, but there is the FAFO acronym, and you know,
that's
fooled around, and they're going to find out that, you know, if they do certain things, it's not going to be popular. So, you know, we know that we'll see some bad things happen, which is very unfortunate. But we also know that, you know, some of the things that, you know, they've promised, threatened, you know, however you want to describe it, you know, probably won't happen, because, you know, these people that are in charge, you know, starting with Donald Trump and then, you know, trickling down to the loyalists he's put in charge, these people are inept, they're incompetent, they're corrupt. They're sloppy, and you know, they're not going to be able to make good on a lot of what they said they're going to do, whether it's because they don't know how to do it or because they will cave to pressure on some of the changes that they want to make. So I do think that, you know, they're not going to make good on all of those promises.
Well, they can't, because here's the deal. As noted in a New York Times article, roughly 80% of the new clean energy manufacturing investments announced since the Inflation Reduction Act passed in 2022, 80% of the investments have flowed to Republican congressional districts. There are just so many projects and so many job opportunities here that when President-elect Trump talks about clawing back some of the money in the law, he clearly did not have a globe where he could have seen where the benefits are going. I don't know which is more likely. Do they try to carve out exemptions for just these Republican districts, or do they face real pushback by Republicans in Congress? I got to think it's going to be the latter.
Yeah, I think it's the latter, and not just Republicans in Congress, but I think, you know, Republicans in, Republican governors, Republican state House members in these, in these states are going to be really unhappy. You know, they know that these investments have really helped the local economies in their states. Is Donald Trump, some of this money really can't be clawed back. I mean, what's he going to do? You know, is he going to go knock down a factory? Is he going to, remove solar panels and try to sell them off? I mean, some of this money has already been spent. Actually, quite a bit of the money has already been spent, or it's in the process of being spent. And if you are asking a community, you're asking contractors, you're asking workers to abandon a job, that's just not going to go over well. And again, I think that really underscores how unserious and incompetent these people are, that they think they can just, abandon this progress.
So folks who missed it yesterday, when we had our discussion with Hans Breitenmoser, and we talked about a farm bill, and we talked about a letter that had been signed by 17 governors saying that, Republicans controlling Congress, they need to pass a farm bill sooner rather than later. It's just so important, and stop dithering. And the punchline, of course, was that all 17 of these governors are Republicans. Well, now there's a letter to Speaker Mike Johnson from 18 House members saying that prematurely peeling back these energy tax credits, which have, quote, created good jobs in many parts of the country, would undermine private investment. And yeah, you know the punchline. All 18 of these Republicans, or House members writing these letters, this letter, were Republicans, including Representative Lori Chavez DeRemer of Oregon, who is Donald Trump's pick to be the next Secretary of Labor. The letter, the phone call, is literally coming from inside the House, Melissa.
Exactly. These people,
they get investment. They understand investment, right? Which is what we thought, what a lot of people thought Donald Trump understood, years ago when he was first on the scene, thinking, here's an investment guy,
And then how many bankruptcies later did we understand, hey, maybe this guy actually doesn't understand investment very well.
Maybe it's just about enriching himself and power. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. I will be curious to see how Ms. Chavez DeRemer, if her, tune changes, once she is officially in the cabinet. I hope not.
Right.
I think that's one of the challenges with somebody like Donald Trump is when people do get in his inner circle, there's not a lot of room to criticize him, hold him accountable, or have a differing viewpoint. So I hope that will be the case, that she will continue to advocate for this funding, for these jobs, for this investment, and be a voice that will support the IRA, support the CHIPS and Science Act, because that's something else that we know that Donald Trump has attacked repeatedly, while it's something that has been an incredible investment in manufacturing in the U.S.
And by the way, another example where when Speaker Mike Johnson talked about Republicans maybe trying to repeal the CHIPS and Science Act, again, other Republicans immediately jumped in to say they support the investments, and Johnson later walked back his statement. So it's funny that they're looking for these, they're looking for these bridges to nowhere, to bring back an old budget metaphor here, and look for things that would qualify for, you know, for Bill Proxmire's old Golden Fleece Awards. And instead, what you're finding in here are all of these investments that are good for states, good for the local communities where they're in, and that they, again, embrace green energy, renewable energy sources, and they want so badly to shoehorn their arguments into the whole climate change is a hoax thing, but it's not working because the numbers and the benefits have been so readily apparent.
Yeah, that is absolutely true, and I do want to take one quick minute though and circle back though just on the CHIPS and Science Act, because you mentioned the question to Speaker Johnson, and I want to just circle back on that because I think it is so important to talk about how we get to some of these conversations. And the reason we get to some of these conversations is based on the questions that are asked of the people in power. And we're not seeing the right questions asked often enough. And I just really wanted to shout out that it was a student journalist who actually asked that question to Speaker Johnson. We weren't seeing very many journalists ask important questions like this. And a student journalist who knew that the CHIPS and Science Act was important to his community asked that question because he was concerned about the future of the legislation. Because in Syracuse, the student from Syracuse University knew that the legislation was responsible for a $100 billion complex in Syracuse at the Micron company. So this is why I wanted to just bring this up, because we are going to need journalists to hold these people accountable for what their policies are going to be throughout this administration. And if we don't have the people asking the questions, we're not going to ever have those conversations. So I just wanted to shout that out really quickly before we moved on
conversation. Because it takes us to our last point, and that is, you know, where do we all go from here? And we spoke last time around about how the move for climate leadership is going to move to the state level and the local level and to the private level as well. But before the Biden administration is done, and there's still over a month left, there are things that can be done as well. There's a group called Evergreen Action that has put together a list calling on the Biden administration to reject 5 remaining liquefied natural gas projects, swiftly appoint as many fair judges as possible before Trump comes into office, finalize some remaining key regulations where the risk of congressional repeal is low, and a host of other things that can yet be done. So between, you know, journalism that is, much more, is much sharper in asking its questions, and leadership at the state local level, and things the Biden administration can still do, it's just a way to close on a note that says all is not lost. There are still plenty of people that understand the importance of moving forward on a cleaner, greener economy. And, you know, when you and I move forward, it'll be to highlight some of those efforts that are getting underway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, as much as there's a lot to be concerned about, there's a lot to be nervous about, there's a lot to be scared about, because there are, you know, vulnerable communities at risk, there's progress at risk. But there's also, you know, there's a lot to be encouraged about. There's a lot that we can do together. There's a lot of work that's already been done. And I think that, you know, I'll just say, you know, I think that, you know, you talked about Evergreen Action, and I think they summed it up really well in a blog post here. You know, they said the climate injustice movement is stronger than a Trump presidency. And I think that is so incredibly true. I think that the work that we've seen so many different organizations do together, so many different advocates and communities come together to, you know, really build power, to make progress, to highlight, you know, economic justice, environmental justice, and how those intersect. You know, this is, you know, this is not the first time, you know, we've seen bumps, we've experienced bumps in the road, and it's not gonna be the last time. But, you know, we are going to be a strong coalition, and we are going to be able to make progress. And I really believe that they summed that up well, that this movement and the people behind it are so much stronger than any presidency, but especially Donald Trump's.
Elections are so often about the candidates themselves and each individual race, and not about the values that we all hold at large. Despite who wins these elections, most Americans still want, you know, gun safety. Most Americans still want reproductive health care rights. And most Americans still understand the dire nature the climate is in and want to make advances in greener energy sources. And so the work just goes on at a different level. And it's one that we'll continue to follow every week at this segment with our friend Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
We'll do today's history lesson coming up next on Up North News Radio from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, let's go to church from the book of Ecclesiastes. This number one song from the Byrds, written by Pete Seeger, was the number one song this day in 1965. We are joined on this Wednesday, as we are most Wednesdays, for our history lesson by Melissa Kay from 97.5 WFHR and 105.5 WIRI. And, God, her title just gets longer all the time. And Community Stories with Melissa Kay, which you can hear Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 on 97.5 WFHR. Melissa Kay, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. That was quite the introduction. Thank you.
Wait, there's more. To learn more about Community Stories with Melissa Kay, go to civicmedia.us/show/community-stories-with-melissa-kay. To learn more.
Melissa Kay, first of her house, the scarfed queen.
Yes, Greg is appreciating that scarf, or some would say sleeping bag. It's a very large scarf. It's probably got, does it have an official title when a scarf is that big?
Cozy. It's an infinity scarf.
An infinity scarf. That makes sense.
We're talking about Marvel movies now. Great. Okay, so I really love Captain America Winter Soldier. Sorry.
Which probably could have used a scarf. How are you otherwise? How's Community Stories and everything else in Rapids?
It's lovely. We are. We had a story yesterday from Sean Plant, our post commander of VFW 2534. I'm really enjoying this veteran series and looking forward. I need to start making interview appointments with our first responders, because that will be the next series.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Love these highlights. Yeah. So glad you're doing this. Let's get back to the history lesson. The number one song this day in 1954 was by the Cordettes. Number one songs hit differently back then.
Yeah.
70 years ago today.
Oh, God. Oh. Every time I hear the Cordettes, I can only think of that thing you do where he's like, the Cordvettes, like chords in our music. Cordvettes.
So there was our number one song 70 years ago today. On this day in 1991, Pan Am ceased operations. Pan American World Airways had run for 64 years and went out of business and got swallowed up. And now there's only three actual legacy airlines left out there, which is just kind of crazy. But
they keep shutting down too. Didn't another one just go under?
It never seems to end. No.
And Pan Am used to be like the one, right? Like they.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were the deal. You know, when you were flying Pan Am, it was big stuff. Born this day in 1951, Gary Rossington. He was a founding member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. Passed away last year in March of 2023. He had been the longest surviving founding member of the band.
Man, if you are in a cover band in Milwaukee like I used to be back in my youth, when you start this song, it's like, oh, now you care about us. Great.
Right? The riff, the little guitar riff you hear at the beginning, that was Gary Rossington.
Yep.
And then Ronnie Van Zant added the lyrics later on. Dennis Wilson, Beach Boys drummer, was born this day in 1944, died way too early at the age of 39 back in 1983. He was the only actual surfer in the group, not Brian Wilson, not Carl Wilson. Bodine's bassist, Bob Griffin, born in Waukesha 65 years ago today. Happy birthday to him. On this day in 1988, Roy Orbison performed what would turn out to be his final concert, playing in Cleveland. Oh. 2 days later, he had a fatal heart attack at the age of 52. Which hits a lot differently now when you're above the age of 52 than it did beforehand. Dion Ferris, the singer, is 55 years old today. There's your hit, I Know, from the 1990s. Fred Armisen is 58 today. Actor Jeff Bridges, the dude, is 75 years old today. Ooh. The dude from The Big Lebowski. Melissa, I don't know that Greg and I are really fans of that movie. How about you, Big Lebowski?
I've never seen it.
Okay. All right.
You're missing nothing.
Thanks. Although, isn't Daryl Hannah in it?
I don't remember. Like I said, it didn't make a big impression on us, clearly. Sean Corey Carter is 55 years old today. You know him better as Jay-Z.
He's very good at saying, yeah.
He does. There's actually some lyrics in there that I could have done a better job queuing up. But Jay-Z is 55 today. Tyra Banks is 51. And on this day in 1971, the Montreux Casino in Switzerland burned to the ground during a gig by Frank Zappa. Deep Purple was also there and wrote this song about it.
And 1,000 guitar players were born.
So, guitar riff notwithstanding, the lyrics are actually about the Montreux Casino burning down this day in 1971.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Melissa, you're going to love this. Today is Extraordinary Work Team Recognition Day. So, if you have an extraordinary work team, this is the day to recognize them. Now,
I think we do.
I imagine there's separate days for Mediocre Work Team Recognition Day or Happy Underachieving Work Team Recognition Day. But if yours is extraordinary... This is it. Global Fat Bike Day, World Wildlife Conservation Day, National Dice Day, National Socks Day, National Brown Shoes Day.
National Dice Day?
Yeah.
I'm more confused by the brown shoes.
I know. Why would they don't necessarily need a day either.
What about black shoes?
Did you?
I have red shoes.
You can hear much more of this from Melissa talking about shoes on Community Stories. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 5 p.m. on 97.5 WFHR. Catch her on 105.5 WIRI as well. Thank you, Melissa.
And on Thursdays, there's episodes of Kevin the Cat.
Okay, Kevin the Cat, too.
We're
digging into that one next week. Okay. Thanks, Melissa.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.